Back in the harum-scarum years of the early 1970s, my wife and I subsisted on our boat in a Hamble River mud berth. Our lives were in limbo between borrowing the cash to buy the ship and paying off the moneylenders so we could run away to sea. She made the more serious contribution to alleviating matters by organising the office of a well-known sailmaker. I limped along as a cruising instructor in between less reputable callings. Together with a community of ne'er-do-wells, we were moored stern to on an ancient pier universally known as Debtor's Jetty, where Moody's Marina now stands, or did, until the family sold up a few months back. At its root was a gentleman's convenience of the old school. Behind this stood a row of colourfully dilapidated medieval cottages, inhabited by a mix of longshoremen and one elderly deckhand who always wore brass buttons and a tie. It was said he had raced against the Kaiser. On winter mornings at spring low water, my wife's journey to work began by clambering up a teetering gangway in the dark. She was then obliged to totter in high heels up the jetty with its inch-gap boards to find out whether her car, a yellow VW Beetle I'd bought in Southampton auction for 50 quid, had been washed away by the midnight flood tide. Before she reached the gravelly foreshore that doubled as a parking lot, she had to run the gauntlet of a shadowy denizen of one of the cottages who made his living, partly as a fisherman with a varnished teak oyster dredger, partly as the professional guardian of an equally well-finished yacht, and partly as a paid hand on a keelboat over at the Royal Yacht Squadron in Cowes. He was the last of a breed that had made the Southampton River famous for their seamen from the 1850s until World War II. Eddie was his name. Somehow, we felt that he didn't think much of the likes of us. Eddie started work at 0600, no matter how inky the pre-dawn winter blackness, and my wife could always tell if he was taking a break from mending his nets in the lee of the loo. He kept a fag bent on for what seemed 24 hours of every day, and the glimmer of his gasper first thing in the morning gave him away every time. On one occasion, shortly before Christmas, it was raining stair rods as she set off on her dash up the dock. The wind had been howling all night, and the boat had blown half out of the hole she'd dug for herself in the ooze, so to add to the girl's usual catalogue of griefs, she had to negotiate the gangway at 20 degrees of heel. As for me, I was still turned in. Her brolly whipped inside out as she stepped into the cockpit. By the time she was abeam of the gents, she was already soaked to the skin. Eddie's woodbine was smouldering like an intermittent glowworm between her and the privy door as it creaked in the gale. "Morning, ma'am," he said in his unique, mock-friendly, mock-subservient tone. "I see we've had the best of the day, then." To emphasise this ludicrous pronouncement, he performed his party piece, which was somehow to blow the ash off his cigarette end without removing either hand from his deep pockets. Now clear of the boardwalk and on firm ground, my wife responded with more politeness than she felt before fighting her way across to the motor, which cruelly failed to start. Totally humiliated, she was about to step out into the storm when she was interrupted by a knock on the streaming window. It was Eddie. "You stay put now," he said roughly. "I'll turn out that young man of yours. We'll soon get you going." And so it was that just as daylight was crawling over the waving treetops, I found myself bump-starting my wife's car with the last of the fisherman yacht hands. I'd never been to this close to him before, and I noticed that he had a nasty wheeze, but he showed no signs of quitting after the second attempt failed. "Keep way on, Nipper," he gasped. "No sense giving up now." We kept on shoving, and the third time my bride dropped the clutch, the clapped-out flat four blattered into life. Her taillights flickered on, and she was gone into the tempest. Last week, I saw the yacht that Eddie looked after all those years ago. She was far from the Hamble, and someone had painted the varnished hull he once maintained so superbly, but there was no mistaking her. Crewed by strangers, she sailed by like a ghost from another life, but she brought two things to mind. A fine boat has many incarnations. Very likely she has good times and bad, just as we do, but given her share of luck, she'll see us all out. The second thought was that it's a big mistake to prejudge people you meet around the waterfront, until you're alongside them one stormy morning when friends are hard to find.